Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Stocks to Watch, Wall Street Breakfast's Weekend Edition, our news team's weekend preview of upcoming IPOs, earnings reports, conference presentations, investor days, FDA decisions, Barron's mentions, and other key events that could impact stocks to set you up for the week ahead in the markets. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Good morning. Happy August. Today is Sunday, August 2nd, and I'm your host, Rena Scherbel. We begin with a breakdown of the week ahead from Seeking Alpha's news team. The week ahead will feature updates on construction spending, factory orders, and trade before the big July jobs report at the end of the week. The range of forecasts from economists is wide, but the U.S. economy is expected to have added 2.26 million jobs in July versus 4.8 million in June, and the unemployment rate is forecast to drop to 10.3%. Also of interest, the labor force participation rate is forecast to drop to 61.1% from 61.5% last month, and average hourly earnings are seen increasing 5.9% year over year, due in part to a higher mix of job losses near the minimum wage level. On the corporate calendar, another busy week of earnings arrives with 20% of the companies in the S&P 500 index on the slate, and the IPO market heats up a bit with rocket companies and Rackspace Technologies debuting. On the COVID-19 front, the FDA is nearing a decision to authorize emergency use of antibody-rich blood plasma from recovered COVID-19 patients, and corporate vaccine developments are expected to continue to roll in. Finally, market watchers are looking for a stimulus package from Congress covering extra unemployment benefits, and the hot run for gold is gaining interest. In earnings news, we have McKesson, Marathon Petroleum, Tyson Food, AIG, Tenet Healthcare, and Dish Network reporting on the 3rd. BP, U.S. Foods, Exelon, Prudential, Disney, Allstate, Ralph Lauren, and Fox Corporation report on the 4th. Honda, CVS Health, Humana, Wayfair, Wendy's, MetLife, and Western Digital on August 5th. Cardinal Health, Bristol-Myers, Viacom CBS, Mylan, Yeti, T-Mobile, Con Edison, and Uber report on the 6th. Magna International, Domtar, and Canadian Solar report on August 7th. As we mentioned at the beginning, Rocket Companies is expected to price its IPO on August 5th. The parent of Quick Loans is looking to raise over $3 billion at an expected pricing range that would value the company at just under $40 billion. Cloud hosting services provider Rackspace Technology Global will price its IPO of 33.5 million shares on August 5th as well, in an expected range of between $21 and $24. Apollo Global Management's stake in Rackspace will fall to 63.5% from just over 78% if underwriters sell their full allotment of shares. Other pricings next week include Oak Street Health and Big Commerce on August 5th, as well as Ibex on August 6th. IPO share lockups expire on Beam Therapeutics, Casper Sleep, PPD Inc., Schrodinger, Silk Road Medical on August 4th, as well as Next Point Real Estate Finance, One Water Marine, and Professional Holding on August 5th. An analyst can start doling out ratings on Nakarta, QQ, and Inventiva Saca on August 4th, with the quiet period expiring. Google's $2.1 billion bid for Fitbit is anticipated to face a full-scale EU antitrust investigation next week. The antitrust probe is expected to look into the potential use of data in healthcare. LVMH and Tiffany are also edging closer to seeing the finish line in their merger. Samsung is holding a hardware event called Galaxy Unpacked on August 5th, with as many as 5 hardware devices expected to be unveiled. The virtual presentation could include details on Galaxy Note 20, the regular and ultra versions, Galaxy Fold 2, Galaxy Watch 3, Galaxy Buds Plus, and Galaxy Tab S7, S7 Plus tablets. Qualcomm will be front and center with its Snapdragon 865 or 865 Plus, expected to be highlighted for 5G support. Shares of Samsung are up 7.4% year-to-date, and Qualcomm is over 17% higher. An Easter egg teaser page indicates Google will be showing off its long-awaited Pixel 4a phone on August 3rd. The phone is rumored to have a 5.8-inch OLED display, 6GB of RAM, 64GB of storage, and be powered by Qualcomm's 730 chipset. Pricing and exact order details for the budget phone are undetermined as of yet, but will likely be part of the reveal. Senior leaders from Ford will discuss the Q2 operating environment and the company's financial results during a fireside chat hosted by RBC Capital Markets on August 3rd. The discussion will also range across topics such as global redesign, cost actions, portfolio refresh, and upcoming vehicle launches, including the all-new Ford F-150, new Bronco family, and all-electric Mustang Mach-E. NIE is hosting a virtual investor conference on August 4th. Cimpress has its Investor Day set for August 5th, while Terra Ascend has an Investor Day event on August 6th, and eXp World Holdings has a virtual investors Q&A session. Jefferies Global Industries Conference is running from August 5th through the 6th in a virtual format. The online gathering of over 150 public and private companies and 2,000 leading executives, institutional investors, private equity investors, and VCs will address near and long-term investment opportunities and discuss the current mechanisms driving industrial sector in the U.S. and internationally. Participating companies include Bridgestone, Cree, DriveShack, NRG Energy, Honeywell, Aptiv, Lincoln Electric, Vishay, Mercer International, Caterpillar, and more. General Motors is unveiling the first all-electric model for the Cadillac brand at an event on August 6th. The Cadillac Lyriq is scheduled for production in China in 2021 before arriving in the U.S. in 2022. GM is using the Lyriq as a launchpad for a new scalable battery architecture. Wedbush Securities notes that GM has been touting its proprietary Ultium battery cell technology, which can be stacked inside the battery pack either horizontally or vertically. Analyst Dan Ives said about the EV battery breakthrough, "We view that as one of the highlights of GM's EV strategy." TrueCar forecasts U.S. auto sales will fall 18% in July to 1,189,928 units to mark the fourth month in a row of sequential improvement. New light vehicle sales decreased by 34% in March, 48% in April, 30% in May, and 23% in June. Mainstream brands are steadily increasing their new vehicle sales month over month, especially brands with healthy inventory levels such as Fiat Chrysler. Their Jeep brand stands out for strong performance, likely driven by strong incentive programs as well as the inventory levels needed to satisfy the unique demands of shoppers, noted TrueCar's Nick Woolard. He noted that the luxury brands BMW and Mercedes are recovering at a slower rate amid the tough macroeconomic backdrop. Houston American Energy is due to fire off a 1-for-12.5 reverse stock split on August 3rd. The reverse split is intended to increase the share price to satisfy the New York Stock Exchange's $1 minimum bid price requirement for continued listing. The reverse stock split will reduce the number of shares from around 87 million to about 7 million. Raytheon could land a recommendation in Japan next week from former defense ministers and deputy ministers to replace Lockheed Martin as the supplier of powerful radars for two Aegis Ashore missile defense sites. The company is pitching Prime Minister Shinzo Abe on placing its Spy-6 radar on refitted destroyers similar to a U.S. Navy plan. Raytheon trails peers this year Northrop Grumman and Lockheed Martin with a share price decline of over 30%. This week in Barron's mentions the stocks and themes drawing attention in Barron's Weekly Edition. AutoNation, Group 1 Automotive, and CarMax are seen as compelling plays on recovery, bumpy or otherwise. AutoNation and Group 1 are labeled contrarian ideas, hinging on company-specific catalysts to lift sales, while CarMax is expected to see strong sales continue as consumers opt for used cars over new cars. Demand factors continue to set up well for gold. That could be good for the Spider Gold Shares, GLD, iShares Gold Trust, IAU, ETFs, as well as mining ETFs like VanEck Vector's Gold Miners, GDX, and VanEck Vector's Junior Gold Miners, GDXJ. The cover story delves into the world of SPACs and some of the outsized returns being seen in the category. Pershing Square Tontine Holdings, GS Acquisition Holdings, Therapeutics Acquisition, Social Capital, Hedosophia Holdings 2, and Social Capital, Hedosophia Holdings 3, are singled out as some pre-merger SPACs of interest. This week in our single stock focus, we have cash-centered creep covering PPG Industries. And the affably named author begins here. PPG Industries is the second biggest manufacturer of coatings and paint in the world by revenue and is currently trading at a valuation which makes it a wonderful company at a fair price, to quote the Oracle of Omaha, Warren Buffett. PPG Industries benefits from the fact that it is one of three dominant companies in the sector, alongside Sherwin-Williams and AkzoNobel, and has the size and scale to offset declines in volume by increasing product prices. Its longevity also reflects the change-resistant and fragmented nature of its sector. Coatings and paint are not subject to technological obsolescence, and the established companies are able to further consolidate their position by buying up their smaller competitors, thus improving their store count and brand portfolio. PPG Industries' announcement in February that it would acquire Alpha Coating Industries in Q1 2020 is a recent instance of this competitive advantage. That PPG Industries is a profitable company by virtue of its dominant position is borne out by its 11.67% operating margin and the revenue and net income figures that it has reported over the past 5 years. The steady level of profitability that PPG Industries has reported over the past 5 years appears compromised by Q2 2020, but one must take into account the impact of COVID-19 on the global economy. Cash-centered creep then goes on. Despite the impact of COVID-19, Moody's has stated that PPG Industries' business model will remain resistant in the economic downturn that the pandemic has hastened, and consequently, the firm's stellar dividend record should be maintained. People will still need to maintain their properties with coatings and paint regardless of what the economy is doing. That fact explains why PPG Industries has been so profitable that it has been able to reward shareholders with 47 years of consecutively rising dividends, a record that makes it an S&P 500 dividend aristocrat, and which leaves it 3 years shy of becoming an even rarer dividend king. With a payout ratio of 48.10% and reported free cash flow of $426 million, the odds are that PPG Industries will meet this milestone without further ado. PPG Industries' financial robustness may seem questionable when looking at the long-term finances, as its long-term debt of $5.28 billion slightly outpaces its net worth of $4.94 billion. But the firm's steady profitability should ensure that it can meet its debt interest payments at least. PPG's short-term finances are much stronger, as its total current liabilities of $5.23 billion are offset by its total current assets of $7.08 billion. Cash on hand worth $2.25 billion, its short-term investments worth $50 million, and its total accounts receivable of $2.67 billion. Overall, then, the balance sheet affirms Moody's view of how durable PPG Industries will be in the present economic downturn. Overall, Seeking Alpha authors skew bullish on PPG Industries, with one very bullish and two neutral. That concludes this week's Stocks to Watch. Thanks so much for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Alpha Trader, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great week.